And our logic and our theory here is when we entered into this area back in 2022 would be that, you know, if we found something large enough and big enough, somebody's going to want it. And that was something strategically we looked at the entire area there in northern Chihuahua, and in particular the area we're in. So again, it goes back to, if we find something large enough and big enough, at some point GoGold is going to, and I say them because they're the closest, but they're going to run out of tailings. They're going to be looking for something to feed the monster, we'll call it. That monster or that facility has been permitted. It's in operation. They currently produce gold, silver, lead, and zinc from that. And it would just logically make sense that they would come for us.
Yeah.
Because we have a 10,000 meter drill program planned that's budgeted. Where we're going to drill exactly, I can't answer that right now because we don't have all the information. But we're feeling, you know, extremely confident there. And again, for your listeners, when you ask me, well, what is it that you have? We have a 200 million ounce target. That's what we have. I know you laugh, Andy, but...
No, I am not laughing at you because I think you're crazy. I'm laughing at you because that is crazy. That's a lot. Scott Emerson, Kingsman Resources, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Look at that, what we're looking at. We're painting a picture here. I'm very familiar with Kootenay Silver, GoGold. Very familiar, right? Where are you guys at? It looks like you're right on the fairway, if that's what you're showing me.
Well, can your viewers see what I'm...
They absolutely can. Yep.
Okay, I don't see it on the screen. I'm sorry. So... we're located here, the Las Coloradas, as you can see, and the Amaloya project. So I put some distances on that Google Earth map to give you an idea of where we are in relationship to our peers.
Tell them to me, how far are you from your peers there?
So, you know, Andy, I thought we were going to start from the get-go, but so GoGold is probably our closest at 39 kilometers away. They have a processing facility where they process the old tailings from the La Prita mine, which is in the city of Parral. So they currently truck right now about 10 kilometers, I believe. And our logic and our theory here is when we entered into this area back in 2022 would be that, you know, if we found something large enough and big enough, somebody's going to want it. And that was something strategically we looked at the entire area there in northern Chihuahua, and in particular the area we're in. So again, it goes back to, if we find something large enough and big enough, at some point GoGold is going to, and I say them because they're the closest, but they're going to run out of tailings. They're going to be looking for something to feed the monster, we'll call it. That monster or that facility has been permitted. It's in operation. They currently produce gold, silver, lead, and zinc from that. And it would just logically make sense that they would come for us.
Yeah. No, you're right there. I'm very familiar with GoGold. Let me talk to my viewers and listeners, and please interject. So Kingsman Resources, I don't want to say you, this is not investment advice, but this is how I separate companies. And yeah, I would say how you, the viewers and listeners, separate companies. You have explorers, you have developers, and then you have producers. And then there's certainly a lot of synergy between all three of those groups. Some explorers become developers, some developers continue to explore, some producers continue to develop and explore. That being said, Scott, you guys are in the bucket of explorers, correct?
Correct. We are good explorationists.
Right. Okay.
That's what we do.
Got it. So talking to all my viewers and listeners, look at the Lassonde curve here. And what my favorite things are in this market, I love producers just because of the cash flow that they're generating. I love deep value, developers that I look their projects on, and I see them being traded relative to what their stock price is to relative to what they have at the ground. I look for a deep discount, if you would. In explorers, what I really look for is where are they at in a map? Where are they drilling? And what I actually almost prefer explorers to anybody else. The reason is I'm looking for 10, 20 baggers, and that's where you're going to get those gains, if you would, is in explorers. If they hit, and we can all, you literally say a prayer and you trust the geologists and trust the people that are running the company. But when they hit and they have good results, that's when exciting things happen. So go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I think, just to carry on from that point, Andy, is I always say to people, it's the drill bit that drives value in any junior stock. And you talk about that Lassonde curve, and it starts here, and then as a company goes and explores and gets good indicators as to potential, and then when they drill and they hit, typically the stock goes up. It's when they hit that point where they've discovered enough that the decision has to be made and going, well, are we going to go into production? What are we going to do with this? And then typically you see this on the Lassonde curve. Then you get mine construction, you got to build it, that's 2 years, sometimes it's longer. Then once you start production, then you see this. So I probably went a little further than what you wanted, but I
No,
always
that's
say drill
great.
bit is what drives value. That's what we're about. We have, two projects. Your viewers, if they listened to our interview earlier, we have two brownfields projects. So they're not grass fields. They're not green in the sense that some work had been done on them by different operators during different decades in this case. So we were able to acquire all that information, assemble it, and then put a land package together, which had never been done. And that holds for both, if you're still seeing that slide, Amaloya and Las Coloradas. It was a
Got
bunch of smaller claims owned by individuals, and I spent the better part of a year putting that together at Las Coloradas and then most recently at Amaloya. Amaloya was a 3-year project. And something that, I think for your listeners, Andy, and I brought this up prior to us going on air is patience.
Yep.
You know,
Yep.
from a junior perspective, we're not a, in Kingsman's case, we're not a big company. We have six key individuals that are driving this. And those individuals are in the field. They're not sitting behind a desk like I am today. So it's patience, and you get rewarded with patience in this, in the junior cycle. That's my
Yeah,
view.
no, absolutely, absolutely. So, but if before we get into it, talk to me a little bit about Mexico. So Mexico had a hard time. Well, there's a problem with getting permitted, if you would, for several years. I own a lot of Mexican stocks. I should say junior developers, explorers, developers, and producers in Mexico. But walk me through that. I know the answer, but I want you to answer that. Especially recently, it seems like Mexico has been really changing and opening up.
So under the old regime, they put in a policy not to allow any staking of ground and not to allow open pit mining. And then COVID came along, and a lot of the juniors, it was a tough market, Andy, as you know, were unable to either pay for their projects or pay their taxes. And they started to leave. And then that narrative was very negative around Mexico. Oh, I wouldn't go to Mexico. They don't allow this. You can't stake. But the reality is Mexico's been a mining country for hundreds of years. There are projects littered everywhere across Mexico. And when I went, it was, we had heard times are changing, things are going to change. They're not going to be able to kind of not have open pit or and whatnot. So when we went to look at, I think I said mentioned in your previous interview, 11 projects we looked at, I went with that going, well, Mexico is going to change and it's going to take me time to assemble these land packages that I want. So I have time on my hands. At that point, I didn't have capital. So that capital that was spent was my own capital, putting it together. But I believed at some point, and we talked up until 3 months ago, oh, it's going to change. It's going to change. Our lawyers are telling us this. We're hearing the narrative changing in Mexico. And sure enough, there's a little company, not little anymore, that received the first open pit permit since well, 20 years. And now what we're seeing is those permits are being issued quietly. They're not making a big fanfare out of it. They're issuing them and they're allowing junior companies. And in our case, it doesn't affect Kingsman because we're not open pit, we are underground. But in other cases, it's just changed the narrative. So the new administration's come in, they're quietly stepping us through because they know the importance to the GB P that mining brings to their country. And then you look at states in particular. We're in the state of Chihuahua. It's very mining friendly. That slide demonstrates, some producers that are close to us, but there's many more producers in that state. Then you've got Sonora. So I'm very, Kingsman is in Mexico, obviously, so I'm biased, but I'm very bullish on Mexico.
Well,
And
let
I
me
think
add to
you've
that.
seen those companies, regardless of the commodity price, you saw the narrative changing in Mexico and they're getting a lot of attention.
I've experienced that both as an investor and also just a watcher of the news. Out of my own portfolio, with many of the companies that I have that are in Mexico, you saw this huge drop off. But really, in the past 12 to 18 months, you're seeing this really good rise, if you would. It's not a hockey stick up, but there is a really good rise coming on. And kudos to you, though. I don't think that's brought up enough. All the companies that stayed in Mexico and even went to Mexico during all of this and believed that things would change, it looks like they could pick up really cheap assets, which it seems like that you've done. So.
And I say to people, what I put together and acquired to replicate that in this current market environment, I'd be paying 3 to 5 times more than what I did. But I, you talk about risk reward, the junior space, it's not for everyone. But I took it upon myself going, it's got a great jurisdiction, it's got a great mining history. There's a lot of benefits to Mexico. There's some negatives, depending on the state that you're in. We don't have the narco issue. But if you look at that, I can get to the project, Andy, in one day. So I can leave my office and I can be boots on the ground by that evening, which is very attractive. It's still cost effective. And the labor force is extremely strong in mining. Right.
There's a saying, buy straw hats in the winter, and it looks like that's what you guys did. So Scott, talk to me really, and you had some great drill results come out recently here that I want to talk about. But before that, give us an idea of what you think you have here that you can talk about.
So I think for your viewers that maybe are new or first time watching this, we acquired a past producing mine. So we'll talk about Las Coloradas as an example, our first project. So it was a past producing mine. It was 300 meters in length. It was 150 meters deep, approximately. It was a high grade silver mine. And our logic was, does it extend along strike and does it go below the water table? So a company called Grupo de Mexico, ASARCO, they produced there for 8 years. That was back in the 50s. And then that whole district sat idle because it was very fragmented. It had 14 owners. Las Coloradas is an old past producing mine for those listeners that it produced from 1944 to 1952, 300 meters in length, 150 meters of depth, high grade silver. They went in there, they mined it. When the lease expired, They were unable to renew it. And part of that was because of the fragmented ownership, because somebody would say, well, Andy, my block is worth way more than yours. And so at that time, you've got silver, I don't know what price it was, $23 or $10. They left. Then it's that whole area sat idle and there was nobody in there. And that's an opportunity that we saw when myself and my VP of exploration went to Mexico, parked ourselves in Parral, and we visited these projects, meaning we walked them, we sampled them, because we had time on our hands, Andy. The market wasn't as it is now. So we took the liberty to go and process those samples and look and go, okay, well, what could this be? And in Las Coloradas, we say the best place to find a mine is where there was one. So we think that this does extend longer than 3 kilometers, or rather than 300 meters. We've traced the structure for 1.7 kilometers now. So we've traced that on surface. We did a year's worth of sampling and we could see the structure, how it went. So we were feeling pretty confident. We then ran IP over it, identifying drill targets. And that worked out very successfully for us. And then we drilled it. And it was a small 3,000 meter program, but what I can say now is as we see it goes deeper, it gets better, the grade. So we know it goes below the old water table. We know that it goes deeper, and we had a pretty significant intersection. And then 160 meters away from that hole, we had another significant intersection. With not only silver this time, but we encountered, just a little over 2.5 grams of gold. So now our theory is, well, we've got the one structure, Las Coloradas sits on it. We've got what's called the Soledad 2 structure, which we've traced for 1.4 kilometers. Now we've potentially got a third structure in there.
Congratulations.
So, now it's getting really interesting. We're awaiting assays still. On another 9 holes,
Okay.
which I suspect we'll have out probably in the new year.
Great.
And that's going to really give us the model as to what our plans are for 2026.
Got it.
Because we have a 10,000 meter drill program planned that's budgeted. Where we're going to drill exactly, I can't answer that right now because we don't have all the information. But we're feeling, extremely confident there. And again, for your listeners, when you ask me, well, what is it that you have? We have a 200 million ounce target. That's what we have. I know you laugh, Andy, but
No, I am not laughing at you because I think you're crazy. I'm laughing at you because that is crazy. That's a lot. That's great.
no, but based on historic production, based on the grade at which they mined. We have those records.
That'd be a tier one asset. Well done. If assuming things work out as they do. And
And
okay.
hopefully one of those companies that were on that slide are going to come to us and knock on the door.
Yeah, if you
And
get big enough.
we, as
If they have it,
shareholders,
they will. If
have
they
a
have it, they will.
successful exit. But I mean, notwithstanding that, Andy, we've done the same thing over at Amaloya. It has two past producing mines. One of them happened to be the richest mine in Mexico in the early 1900s. Again, very fragmented. We put those pieces together. I negotiated with each of those landholders, put it together. Best place to find a mine is where there was one. We've just recently announced sample results from that. We only did gold because it's more of a gold project than it is a silver project. It's 30 kilometers away. It's on trend with Los Gatos, and we are confident in our next steps there, and we're going to do a program there as well in 2026 of 3,000 meters.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, well, what's your target? And I'm going to say to you, we have a 1 to 2 million ounce gold target,
Wow. Yeah.
not a silver target, it's a gold target. And I
Well,
mean, I know those are bold statements, but that's what we believe. That's what I believe.
yeah. Well, the thing is, too, is actually gold is like the cherry on top in this project. That's what I'm looking at. That's a lot of silver, Scott. That's a lot of silver that we think that you have. Talk to me about share structure here. How many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted? And yeah, talk to me about that. And talk to me, how much cash do you have in the bank? Are you fully funded for 26?
So I'll start where you ended. So we are fully funded. We just
Excellent. To
did.
all my viewers and listeners, that in my book is crucial. Go ahead, Scott.
So we just recently completed a $4 million financing at $1.35 a share. But what I'd like to do, Andy, is could I share
Sure. Yep, go ahead.
another shot here with you?
Yep.
Because I think this is important for your listeners. Tell me when you can see this.
There we go. We got it. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I think what's important here for your listeners, because we talk about the junior mining space, we talk about how you can have the big impact, whether it's 10x, 20x, or whatever. So I think when you ask me about share structure, let's begin at December of 2022 when things opened up. January or December, we made that visit to Mexico. We identified the projects. In March of that year, and some of your listeners will know because you've had Jeff Phillips on, who's a strategic investor and a big supporter of Kingsman and mine in particular. But I presented this idea that I had back in 2022, and then in March, I presented it at PDAC, and I got a no. They were like, Scott, come back to us when you got it all put together, and then we'll look at it. And so I did that. I went away with my tail between my legs, so to speak. And I was like, I can't believe nobody can see what I can see, my vision. But I ended up putting it all together. I went back again, and that's when we did a raise at 15 cents Canadian. So I was able to raise just shy of $800,000 to continue with what I thought, I was going to be able to put together. We then did some exploration work. We got some great sample results. I then came back in November of the following year. So basically, I had that funding, and then I came back and raised $1 million at 25 cents, and that allowed me to do more sampling because everybody's excited about sampling, but we did a lot of sampling. We traced the structures. And then I came back in May and did another round of just shy or just a little over $1 million at 72 cents. Because each time I came back, I've come back to the market, I've always added value.
Yeah.
It's always
So
been value add. So anyway, then we did this round at $1.35, and that brings us to a number of just shy of 29 million shares outstanding in the company. So
that's really tight.
it's
I
got a
love
nice
it.
share structure.
Yeah, very, very tight share
$5
structure.
million in cash
Yep.
because we just raised four. We had $1 million left over because my whole thing, I never like to go below $1 million just because I think it's hard to raise money when you don't have money.
Yeah. No.
So, we did that. And now we find ourselves fully funded for 2026 drill programs.
Yeah.
And you will go back to the drill bit drives value.
Yeah.
And
Let me comment on that, Scott. So to all my viewers and listeners here, so what I'd like to see, every company needs to raise money. Every exploration company needs to raise money. If they do it at higher prices, that is really key, meaning they continually offering investors and market value, and they're really taking care of the shareholders that they currently have. So you'll notice on that chart that as Scott has up, it's exactly that. It's a raise, adding value, another raise, adding value, and then another raise. So that's exactly what I'd like to see. Go ahead, Scott.
no, and I think to that, Andy, is we have to talk about patience. We talk about instant gratitude. Everybody wants it right now and whatnot. But the real reward for anyone, including myself, is if you have the patience and you build something and you put the pieces together and you have success. There has to be some success involved in that. But you do that, you get rewarded. And those rewards, as in the junior sector, can be very large.
Yep.
And that's what I pride myself on is I want to deliver to those shareholders that value. And then, ultimately all of us, all 3,600 junior public companies that there are in this space, we all want that exit, right? We all want that exit.
Well, talk to me about, you said you have some news coming out in January, hopefully in January. Why should be, talk me through really the first quarter, not necessarily the drill program, but the first quarter about news coming. And again, we're talking about patience, got it. But what's news flow do you have through the first
Yeah,
quarter?
so for us, it's going to be continued drill results. So we're going to have that coming out in the first quarter. We're going to have some additional sampling that's going to come out both at Las Coloradas and at Amaloya, because just, I guess, earlier in the week, I had put out our gold results, our sampling from Amaloya, but that was only on one block. So that work is going to continue into the new year. So we're going to have that. And then it'll be driven by the drill bit. It'll be driven by drilling. These projects are such, Andy, that when we talked about, the fragmented ownership, and we talk about the companies that were previously there, some big, some small, when you get access to all of that information and you put it all into our database, all of a sudden you start to see things that maybe project holder that was here
You
and the
missed
one
it.
that was here didn't share it. All of a sudden you put it together and you go, well, hold on here. Look at this. What they were looking at, all of a sudden we see. And these weren't small companies. These were, in the terms of Amaloya, they were Kennecott, Teck, Anglo American, Hemlo. I love Archive. I love it. And you pick up the phone and you call people and they say, oh, we'll share that with you, Scott. And I say to people, the cheapest exploration I've ever done has been on these projects because I acquired everybody else's. There's been, I'm going to say millions of dollars spent, whether it be from any one of those companies. I have that data. It was free. So again, that can keep us to the 28 million or 29 million shares outstanding because I haven't had to replicate that. I haven't had to reinvent the wheel. So
Sounds great. Sounds awesome, man.
that's
That's the nutshell. So, Scott, if people want to find out more about you, how do they do that? What's your website? What exchanges are you traded on, and what are your ticker symbols?
so we are on the TSX Venture, so that symbol is KNG. We're on the OTCQB, which is KNGRF. And we're also on the Frankfurt Exchange, which is the TU, which is under TUY. They can find us there or directly at the website, again, kingsmanresources.com. And failing that, Andy, you pick up the phone and they can call me. No, I'm dead serious. I may not get back to everyone, within an hour, because we go back to instant gratification, but whether it be a day or 24 hours or 48 hours, I pride myself because shareholders are, they're an important part of our success. And I think, some have long questions, some have short questions.
So about that, so one of my criteria in investing is how does a CEO or an IR person or whatever, how do they get in, what's the resp how do they respond to me, if you would? What's the communication like? And to all my viewers and listeners, Scott is exceptional at communication. So I appreciate that.
No, I've been on that side, Andy. I know how important it is, right? So, and I'm not saying I'm just going to talk to you when it's all good news and it's all rosy. If something happens or we miss or whatever, I'm going to pick up the phone still because, I use this. It is what it is. So I'm going to tell you, good or bad, because I think that's, again, that's what drives success.
No, I agree.
And that communication, I think, is extremely important. And if I don't pick up, you leave a message, I'm going to call you back. I'm not going to say I'm going to call an unknown number back because we get solicited constantly, whether it be for a drill contract, an IR contract, or whatever. But you leave a message, you get the courtesy of a phone call back.
All right. Well, Scott,
Sorry to
really,
digress on that, but
that's
you know
okay.
what? I'm a big believer in that, and that's how I was taught, good or bad. You pick up the phone or, you
You're old
communicate.
school like me. Scott, love to have you on again in the new year to discuss this again. Yeah, and exciting times. And you are sitting on, potentially sitting on, a lot of silver and a good amount of gold there. So well done. Fantastic.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure's all
Bye-bye.
mine. Bye-bye.